Next week, we'll continue our series on prophecy. I do need to talk to Amy after the service this morning. Brad's theme this year, if you missed it in Sunday school, is me first. There's more to it, though, wasn't there? What's the rest of it? Me first or the kingdom of God. Me first or the kingdom of God, and that bears our remembering. Ben Pilcher was here earlier. I don't know if he's still here. There's Ben. Ben made it through his surgeries, and we're glad to see him today, and we love Ben. All right, now let's get to the preaching of the Word of God. The month of January is named after the Roman god Janus, the god of doors, gateways, and new beginnings. The god of doors, gateways, and new beginnings. Janus was depicted as a man with two faces. One face looked back to the previous year of sorrows and setbacks and dismays and perplexities and things like that. And the other face was forward-looking with hope and confidence. At this time of the year, as we approach January, one cannot help looking back. Obviously, you look back on this year. Some of you said, that was a good year. Some of you look back and say, boy, I'm ready for this thing to be over. And so you can't help but looking back. And yet there's an entirely new year facing us. God is so good. I said God is so good to give us a fresh start. A fresh start. I want you to consider the possibility today of a fresh start. A fresh start perhaps for you. Perhaps in some area of your life. Maybe just in your Christian walk. Maybe a fresh start in your devotions, a fresh start in your stands that you take, a fresh start in your fervor for the Lord, a fresh start. How should we handle this problem of, or this challenge of looking back and looking forward? How should we handle that as we approach a new year? How would God have us handle it? Well, it's all found in the Scripture. It's all found in this passage. In Philippians chapter 3, let's look at it together. First, we should forget the things which are behind us. Forget. That's where it starts. As we're approaching a new year, should be full of hope and confidence and what can God do with me and in my life in this new year. Well, the first thing is to forget the things which are behind us. Philippians 3 and verse 13 again. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. One of the greatest barriers to making a new start in a new year is the memory of the past. The failures, the hurts, the sins, the successes sometimes harass us until we are afraid to attempt anything new. I don't know if I want to get back in that lane again. And those are our hindrances. For example, past sins must be forgiven. Now let's start right there today. The book of Philippians was written to Christians. There can be no forgetting without forgiving. Are you with me? There can be no forgetting without forgiving, without forgiveness. Paul, who wrote these verses, was conscious of many failures and sins in his own life. In fact, he's the one who wrote Romans chapter 7 about his struggle to do what is right, his dismay at his battle to stop doing wrong. He could reflect back on his persecution of the church and assisting in the murder of early Christians. He was not innocent. Paul had many personal sins to be forgiven. But now he had entered into confession, forgiveness, cleansing of God. That's what you and I need to do as we start a new year. If you have things that have lingered from the past year, take them to the Lord. Confess them. Be cleansed of them. Start with a clear conscience as we start the new year. Now he could write, because Paul did that, now he could write forgetting those things which are behind. Ask God for forgiveness. Get a fresh start, and you can move forward with the new year. You're in a race. In fact, according to the Scripture, we're in a race. It's, by the way, not a 100-yard dash. It's not how fast you run. It's the endurance factor of the marathon. That's what we're in a race for. Now, you may have had a spurt last year. You may have had a spurt for several years. You may have just had a gusto, a burst of energy, and you've been running, and you had run pretty well for a while. I want you to know this is a marathon. You're going to have to pace yourself, and you're going to have to keep running. There's a lot of race left, and a lot of time left, and there's a lot of ground to cover unless Jesus comes this year. We've got a lot to accomplish. There's a lot to do for the Savior until He comes. There's no time to stop and nurse your toe where you tripped this year. There's no time to stop and nurse your hurt feelings over something this year. We just don't have time for it. There's too much to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom, this year. So, you had a poor start. Maybe you had lost time in this last year. You need to come, confess your sins, make amends, face the music, turn your face toward Christ with greater vigor than ever, and determine to fight the good fight of faith. Do it right now. Do it today. Start today. This is the 30th? Is this the 30th? This is the 30th of the month. One day left, and we'll be into the new year. You need to obey now with a greater resolve. Be faithful now. Learn God's word now. Pray now. Tithe now. Serve now. Let it be now. Get started today. So you almost quit on your last lap of last year at one point. When you had the wind knocked out of you. When you allowed the devil to have a little ground in your life, maybe. I don't know. But I know this. There's an awful lot of race left. Listen to me carefully. Others are watching you run your race. That's right. So I'm running my race, and there's people behind me and people around me that are watching Randy Starr run his race. You put your name in there. There's people that are watching us run our race. They'll, some of them will run just like we run. Or they'll slough off like we slough off. We can't let that happen. Loved ones are watching. Don't be a further stumbling block. If you had a bad last lap, don't be a further stumbling block as we start the next year. Step it up a notch. I'm calling you today. I believe God's calling all of us to a greater dedication, not a lesser. This is the start of a new year. Let's do better this year. So you passed some who have now finished their race, and you will miss running with them. Keep running anyway, because your race is not over yet. They would want you to get your second wind, so to speak, and keep running. Past sins must be forgiven. Secondly, past hurts must be filtered. Past hurts must be filtered. This world has a lot of hurts in it. Sometimes they come from family. Sometimes they come from within the church family. You're not the only one who has ever been hurt. Are you listening to me? In fact, it was our race, our human race, that hurt Christ. And He turned right around and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Some believers who've tried to help others have been hurt by the ones they're trying to help. But they kept going. Other believers have been hurt in churches before. But they have kept running. And thank God that they did. Filter that hurt by realizing that others have faced what you have faced. The things that we face in our life, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that's common to man. These are the things that happen to people. Hello? This is what happens to us. I wonder, will you allow some help to come your way this morning by some frank talk? I want to give you some frank talk. I want your eyes up here. It's time to quit feeling sorry for yourself. If you're going to start a new year, and you start it with a pity party, you're not going to start it right. You're going to get in the same ruts. You're going to do the same rotten things. You're going to have the same rotten attitudes that you had before. Somewhere along this line, you've got to quit feeling sorry for yourself and forget what is behind, and no better day to do it than this day today. Self-pity can't help as you face what lies ahead in the new year. Quit harboring grudges. Did you hear me? Quit harboring grudges and offenses. It's time for all of us to move on. It's time for a fresh start. Get back on track today. Start running again today. You're in a race. In fact, turn over there. I think it's Hebrews 13. If it's not, it's 12. Look over there. See what it says. Yeah, it's 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, there's people watching us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us do what? Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And it goes on from there. My, oh my, that's what we need. We need to filter the past hurts, and we need to forgive our past sins, and we need to forsake our past successes. What do you mean by that? We're on this racetrack of life. We must leave behind the previous stages of the race. We're not in that stage anymore. We came around that lap, or if you're in a marathon, we came around that section of the city where they're running the marathon, and we're up in another. You can't have your mind on what was. Hello? I don't care if it was good. You can't have your mind on that. You've got to get your mind on what is and what's ahead. We haven't reached the finish line yet, and we don't dare expend time and energy savoring the great way in which we've been running. We don't dare expend that energy in our thoughts and our time on how we jumped the past hurdle, how we avoided the last collapse as people were collapsing around us, how we sprinted up that last hill. We haven't got time to think about that. We've got to think about what's ahead of us. What are we doing right now? Why? Because there's a new surprise around the next corner, and we have to be alert to face it. Because the enemy of our soul has not fallen asleep. Because the last thing that we overcame was not going to be the last thing that we face. As a church, we can't stop and bask in the sunlight of a banner year. 2012 was a banner year for Mount Zion. Anyway, you slice it. We had a good year in attendance and decisions. I was reviewing them this week. Our best year in finance ever in the history of our church. This time of the year is a time to thank God for His many past blessings and His past enablements. But the race is not over. It keeps going and going till Jesus comes. There's more ahead. It requires patience and preparation in the verse we just read in Hebrews. Paul had a most eventful and fulfilling past ministry, but he realized that to be preoccupied with his accomplishments was to divert his attention from the present race that he was running. If God still has you on this earth, listen to me carefully. If He has you here, He still wants you running the race with patience until you finish your course, and you're not finished yet. You're here. Are you breathing? Hello? Yeah, you're still breathing. You're not finished yet. One of the keys is to forget the things which are behind. We need the past hurts filtered, the past sins forgiven, the past successes to be forsaken in favor of what's ahead and what's now. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. So the first thing is, we should forget the things which are behind us. If we're going to have a good start to this new year, a fresh start, forget the things which are behind. They'll drain you. It may involve you confessing some sin. I'm not saying that. But confess it and then go forward. All right? Number two, we should foresee the things which are before us. First, we forget the things which are behind us. Forget the things behind us, the Scripture says. Then we should foresee the things which are before us. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, there's the first point, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, there's the other point, second point. And I believe that Paul is taking aim at next year's possibilities and responsibilities. I want you to consider both of these at this juncture of the message. The possibilities of the new year. Most people are afraid of the future. Uncertain. Oh, the cliff. Oh, the cliff. The media is like, you might forget the cliff. I want to make sure you don't forget the cliff. Every newscast starts with the cliff. The cliff is going to happen. We're going to go over the cliff. Oh, my soul, we'll never make it if we don't. Did you hear what they're really thinking about doing? They're thinking about no new higher taxes. I mean, what they want to do is nobody wants to be responsible for higher taxes. So they're talking about both sides not coming together this week and go over the cliff, and then a week from now they'll consider cutting the taxes. That's after the taxes went up, then everybody can be thought of as the House and the Senate and the President can all get credit for cutting the taxes that they allowed to go up. They must think we're a bunch of idiots sitting out here, but it's crazy. Politics is crazy. There's a lot of fear. They have, even if it's not real, one guy on the news said, even if it's not real, the perception of it isn't good. And so there's a lot of uncertainty about the future, but not just about that, about health, about loved ones, families, and things like that. Uncertainty and insecurity about the days ahead often fill the heart with fear. I mean, that's the temptation that you'll fear, be afraid of what's coming up, and so forth. But for the Christian, there is no need to fear. 1904, Mrs. Sevilla Martin visited a bedridden friend. Mrs. Martin asked the woman if she ever got discouraged because of her physical condition. Her friend responded from the bed quickly, "Mrs. Martin, how can I be discouraged when my heavenly Father watches over each little sparrow and I know he loves me and cares for me?" Well, Mrs. Martin was so encouraged that within minutes she started jotting down some lines. Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? My constant friend is he. You know, it's all in your perspective. Who you got your eyes on? You got your eyes on me first? All about me? You got your eyes on all your problems? Then those are going to dominate your thoughts, your actions, your choices in 2013. But if you have your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, it can change everything. You can have a fresh start. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I am free. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me. Verse 2. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear. And resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. That's all. He only lets me see maybe the next step. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And his eye is on you. As you cross into 2013, you can be assured that his eye is on you. Remember that God chose the sparrow as the example of who his eye is on. The sparrow, the most common of all birds, to teach us this truth, that no one is insignificant to God. The common sparrow has God's eye. And if the common bird has his eye, how much more do we have his eye? God's eyes on each common bird. He is vitally concerned with the details of your life. Turn to Psalm 124. Therefore, should possibilities of the new year create fear in our hearts? No, not if we have the right perspective. God is going to help me. God will be with me. Shirley and I have some uncertainty in our lives. But God will see it through, see us through. The psalmist wrote an entire psalm about this very topic. Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men arose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us and the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. We could have drowned if the Lord had not been with us in this last year. Then he says, blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. Listen, the devil set some pretty good traps this year. He set some pretty good traps for some in our fellowship. Our soul is escaped, however, as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Christian, how will we make it through the unseen possibilities of 2013? How are we going to do that? Oh, the only way we've ever made it through, the only way anybody's ever made it through, we will trust the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. He will watch over us again. He will catch us when we're about to fall. He will cause us to escape future snares. Paul also had in mind here not only the possibilities and the challenges those possibilities brought, but also the responsibilities of the new year. Philippians 3 and verse 14. Look there with me. Philippians 3:14. We keep coming back to Philippians 3. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We each have duties to fulfill. Duties to fulfill. We have duties to our family. We have duties to our work. Duties to our God and our church. The runner must have his eyes on the finish line and on Christ. Only what's done for Christ will last. No one can ever make a success of life without having a goal and an example before him. The old adage is still true. If you aim at nothing, you'll be sure to hit it. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The goal of every Christian ought to be the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That ought to be our goal. Without a doubt, the prize is his reward at the judgment seat of Christ. What greater achievement could any believer foresee than being crowned from God, being crowned at God's reward banquet, judgment seat of Christ? When Paul neared the end of his race, he spoke about it in this way, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He's talking about the reward, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. Paul spoke of his goal, how close he was to receiving his reward. Now, in a marathon, you run and one person wins. In the spiritual marathon, we each have our own race. And God expects us to finish our race. But the runner in a marathon receives a prize. Probably, I don't know how much, but probably lots of money and trophy and the whole deal. We receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. We are running the race for His glory, for His honor. He commanded us to do it. We want to obey. We are so grateful in our heart for the salvation that He's brought. He's washed away our sins. We want to have rewards because we want to obey Him and please Him. And so Paul spoke of his goal and how close he was to receiving his reward. But then he reminded Christians the same reward is awaiting all who look for Christ to appear or who live for Christ on this earth. If you're looking for Him to appear at any moment, I'll guarantee you, you got your mind on some work for the Lord here right now that you're doing. Yeah. That's those who love His appearing, who embrace it, who are looking forward to it, are doing something for Him. They want Him to come. Look, Lord, look, we're getting it done. Come on down, Lord. They love His appearing. Paul's message was clear. The rigors of running the race to the end will be worth it all one day when we see Christ. Keep that in your mind. It's going to be worth it all. This is our high calling. This is our holy calling. As Christians, we must stay in the race, stay separated from the world, live every day for the glory of the Lord. It's our responsibility. So to run the race in the new year and have a fresh start, we have seen so far that we need to forget those things which are behind. Say it with me. Forget those things which are behind. And then we should foresee those things which are before. Before. Foresee those things which are before. And finally, we need to fulfill those things which are beyond. Fulfill those things which are beyond. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Writing about this verse, M.R. DeHaan wrote, and I quote, "Self-satisfaction is the death of progress. Dissatisfaction with past accomplishments is the mother of invention." End of quote. One day, man was dissatisfied with carrying and lifting loads upon his shoulders. So he invented the wheel and vehicles to carry his load. Pity the man who is content with his own progress. I say pity him if he thinks he's doing all right. Yes, sir, I'm okay. Well, it'd probably be better if you thought you weren't okay. It'd probably be better if you thought you hadn't attained. It'd probably be better if you thought you hadn't accomplished everything that you need to accomplish yet. It'd probably be better if you thought that you could do more. It'd be good to start the year that way. Why are we talking so much about what we have done when there's still so much to do? We haven't accomplished it all. How many think that we have evangelized the entire Brogue area? And that's not even counting Felton, Ayerville, Red Lion, Delta, Winterstown, Windsor, and on, Fawn Grove, on and on we go, all around us. We haven't got it done yet. There's still a lot of work to do. There are doors to knock on and people to contact and people to call and letters to write and postcards to send. Those who head up a ministry in the church, don't become smug, self-satisfied. You haven't arrived. We have a new year. We're embarking on a new year. Let's make it better. Do you read 10 verses in your Bible study? Did you this year? Can you read 12 next year? I'm being facetious. You could read more than that. But if you did 10, can you do a little more? Did you bring 2 people to church last year? Could you bring 3 this year? Could you step it up a notch? Could there be a little more dedication to fulfill the things that are beyond us? Did you pray 4 minutes a day? How about trying 5? Again, we can do much more. Stretch yourself to fulfill the things which are beyond you. Now, to fulfill the things that are beyond us, we need to have a couple of things. And I'm finished when I'm done with these 2 things. In Philippians 3:10, we need His resurrection power, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. The resurrection power of Christ is that divine dynamic which raised Christ from the dead. It's the same power that we need to be able to conquer Satan and the temptations that he wants us to sin. For us to know this power is to live in victory. When we know the power of His resurrection, we can live in victory. That power would raise us from a besetting sin. The power of His resurrection would raise us from a bad habit that we've never been able to conquer, haven't conquered, or we've gone back into. His power, the power of His resurrection. You may need Him to raise you from a deadly direction that you're headed. Maybe it's not the fiscal cliff that's the real problem. It's the spiritual cliff that's right in front of you. And you need Him to pull you back from the edge of the cliff. Come at the end of this message this morning, if so, and confess sin and let Him raise you afresh. We're starting a new year. You don't want to start it in the mully grubs. You don't want to start it in the pit that you've been in. You don't want to start it in the rut that you've been in your life, perhaps, if you've been in a rut. You want to start it on top. You want to get the best start that you can possibly get. And if that means confessing sin, by all means, do that. You need His resurrection power. But not only His resurrection power to fulfill the things that are beyond you, we also need one more resource, and that's His redemptive passion as we start a new year. It's more than suffering for Christ. It's suffering with Christ. It's the fellowship of His sufferings in verse 10. That is, Christ suffers when folks continue in their sin. It's not just what He suffered on the cross. He suffered for people who were lost. He suffers as people continue in their sin. He suffers when Christians revert to their sin. The heartthrob of Christ is for people to be saved. And we do an awful lot around here. And it all needs to generate to people getting saved and trained in the Scriptures. If that's not forefront, then ministries need to be reevaluated. It's for Christians to be cleansed and walk in purity and holiness. It's not just that you get saved and now you can live any old way that you want to. It's not that at all. He's a holy God, and He said to us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That means in our living, our manner of living. It's talking about our speech. I know some have slipped back into saying a cuss word here and there. When they just get that aggravated or they smash their thumb. Whoa, wait a minute. That's an indication something's wrong in the heart. That needs to be confessed. Oops, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, you did. There was something wrong in your heart that allowed that to come out in the buck of the speech. For out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You may be rebuffed for witnessing in 2013. I don't know. Nothing else than a pure life, holy life, a cleansed life, and a heartthrob for people to be saved Nothing else will do for the Christian. Nothing will substitute, listen carefully, for you with your own witness. And when I say your witness, I mean your witness with your lips. You need to witness. Yes, you do with your life. But they will never know the change in your life and why you're different if you don't tell them. So you need to be telling them about what happened in your life, your witness. And no amount of any other kind of work will substitute for it. You may be rebuffed for it. You may be rebuked for your witnessing. You may have slammed doors in your face. You may have a friend that you're trying to win to Christ and they shut you right off. I don't know. But if you do, you will have fellowship with Christ. That's how they treated him when he tried to tell them the truth. Right. He suffered for his redemptive passion. And if you're willing to suffer with him, you'll never fulfill, unless you're willing to suffer with him, you'll never fulfill the things which are beyond you. The things out there that you could accomplish in this life, but you think that they're too hard. Well, not if you have his redemptive passion to drive you. You see, saving someone is beyond you and me. That's beyond. But with Christ, we can see it happen. Resurrection power overcomes the deadness, our deadness in sin, and it raises us from the deadness of our sin. Redemptive power extends eternal life to others. Our lives are like a race. The race continues in the new year. Did you hear me? The race continues. To run the race in the new year, you need a fresh start, a new gust of wind, a second wind. But how? God gives us three ways. Let me review. We must forget those things which are what? Behind. We must foresee those things which are before and fulfill those things which are beyond. That's right. In forgetting things behind us, we need to forgive our past sins. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to confess them to the Lord and have Him forgive them. Filter past hurts. You can't dwell on the hurts. This life's full of hurts. Things somebody said. Oh, my soul. As a pastor, if I dwell on everything that everybody said and all the things that are hurtful that people say, I'd never get anything done. You can't dwell on that kind of stuff. Filter past hurts and forsake past successes. That's in forgetting things behind us. In foreseeing things before us, the new year will have possibilities. That is, its setbacks to be overcome. And it will have responsibilities that if we do them, He will reward us. In fulfilling the things beyond us, you will have Christ's resurrection power and His redemptive passion. You'll need those to accomplish those things beyond you. How is God calling on you to prepare as we face a new year? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I really think God synchronized all three challenges today. Brad's, Ray's, and mine. Let me ask, to the lost, do you need to start this new year by truly receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you? If you know you should, and you ought to do it right now. He will forgive your sins today and give you that fresh start in the family of God. If that's what you need to do, I wonder, could I see your hand? Lift it. That's what I need to do, preacher. I need to have a fresh start by receiving Christ as my Savior. Let me see your hand. To the Christian, do you have some sin that needs to be confessed? Some direction that you've been going that's not good, and you know it. And God wants to give you a fresh start, and you know you need to spend some time with Him this morning. Do you have a hurt? A hurt that you need to forgive? A hurt that you need to forget? Is there a possibility, some danger ahead, some fear of something ahead, or a responsibility, something for you to do that you need to foresee, and you need to trust the Lord to see you through it? Do you need His resurrection power to fulfill a victory? Something that's been beyond you, but you need His power. You need His redemptive passion to enable you to reach out to the lost in 2013. You want to start out with a goal to reach somebody for Christ this year, or several somebodies. 2012 is coming to a close. It's sealed. There's nothing we can change about it after Monday night. But a new year is knocking on the door. We need a fresh start to face that new year. And God says that this is how each of us can have a fresh start. Forget. Foresee. And fulfill. Now, our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. I pray that You'll help us to process it. I pray that there will be an obedience, a quick obedience, to how You spoke to some through the Holy Spirit and through Your Word right now to make that fresh start for 2013. In Jesus' name, amen. 414, trust and obey. 414. As we stand to sing on the first note.